There were two sorts of apprentices, what were called technical apprentices, which were people like myself, which had school certificates or some reasonable qualifications, and then trade apprentices who were going to be skilled craftsmen. We all spent time in the workshops, however, which is quite sensible. I mean, you need to know how things are done and how things are made. And I enjoyed working in the workshops, to be honest. I like working with my hands. I was very slow. And in those days, you were paid piecework. So you got the rate fixer gave you a time to do a job. And if you took longer, you didn't get any bonus. If you took less, you got bonus depending on how quickly you'd done the job. You had, of course, to pass the inspection at the end. So a bad job quickly done didn't get you anywhere, but a good job quickly done did. But I was never able to do it quicker than the fixed time anyway, so I didn't get much bonus. They were still building Wyverns when I joined. So my first experience of practical activity was in the training school. We all, about 20 of us at a time, went through the training school where we did machining and we're taught how to assemble small items and things like this. So then we went into the workshop, and my first allocation, as it were, was to the major assembly shop making ailerons for the Wyvern. And that was good, really good. I was very lucky. I had a really good craftsman called Tom. I don't remember his other name, but he was addicted to snuff, which is a bit off-putting. But apart from that, he was a really good craftsman, and he really took interest in teaching me everything he could. Some of the guys weren't like that. They were just interested in their apprentices helping them do things quicker and better and making more money. But he was a real craftsman. The worst part of my practical training was in a machine shop. I hated routine machining, where you made, not literally, but millions of bits and pieces all identical, and you had no idea where they were used. So, you know, you were just churning these things out. Got absolutely no idea what purpose they had in real life. I think the most enjoyable bit of practical work was the tool room, which don't exist. Tool rooms don't exist anymore. It's all controlled by numerically controlled machines to do these things. But there's an awful lot of handwork, so we made tools. Although I was very slow, it was quite good and accurate. So at the end of the day, I usually got the complicated jobs, which you took your time over. And I really, really enjoyed it. And again, I had a guy called Norman Evans who worked alongside me, and he would help me, and I learnt an enormous amount from him. And when there were big jobs to be done, like big jigs to be built, then he would take me with him, and we'd go sometimes to Yeovilton to build these jigs, or perhaps jigs had got damaged and we went to refit them. That was really, really good. And in fact, at that stage, I thought perhaps I'd really like to be a toolmaker, or perhaps work in the jig and tool drawing office. And I got myself allocated the jig and tool drawing office for a while. And that was really good. And again, the guy running it was called Johnny Perkins. And he was very, very good with his apprentices, because he would come out with a component and say, or a drawing of a component, and say, we need to make this component. Now, we've made components like this many times before, and so there is a pretty well-established way of doing it, a pretty well-established tool for doing it. But he said, I'm going to leave this with you for 24 hours, and I want you to think if you what way you would make it. Can you think of something better? If it's better than the way we make it now, we'll take your idea. If it's not, then we'll go back to the way we always made it, which I thought was brilliant, because you were really there scratching your head thinking, you know, I've got to come up with something. I can't just do the obvious. So it was very good again.